Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Oh dang.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. I am Aaron Barnes. You are?
Scott Hazelwood.
Yeah. And you can find us on the Twitters at ebarnes73.
Yep.
Or?
At Teach From Here.
Or at Okla Said.
That's right. That's right. Because one of us finally decided it was time that we had a Twitter account.
Yes. And it's been fun. People have kind of been tagging us here and there. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. I told Mr. Sanders the other day, because he has been tagging us with this teacher walkout.
Yes.
I really appreciate him being my eyes down there, because, you know, I can't be down there. Anyway, so it's been kind of nice being tagged in some of those things.
And it lets us know that people are listening.
Exactly. On that note,
yes.
California,
okay.
Ohio,
okay.
And Florida.
Okay.
There have been people on LinkedIn that have said they were listening from those places. So welcome, California, Ohio, wow. Florida. And that's, I know all that through the EduMatch thing, yada, yada. Anyway, so thank you for listening outside of Oklahoma. And if you are outside of Oklahoma, let us know. Tweet to us at Okla Said on the Twitters, and let us know where you're from and where you're listening.
Yeah, or maybe if you have a question about what's going on here, because I think sometimes some of the perception is teachers are being grumpy because of they want more than just a pay. It's more than they got a pay raise. What else do they want? And there's some deep-seated things that have been festering in Oklahoma for about 10 years. And so there's more to it than just a pay raise for teachers, which is woefully needed. Is woefully needed? Is that a correct way to say it?
And Vanessa and I get in. Yeah, yes. Vanessa and I get into a little bit of that in the interview as well. Well, a lot of that. We actually went way off course from my typical interview style. I tried to start that way, but then it just, like, we were both completely distracted and completely changed topic. anyway. Vanessa Perez was the host, and her topic was using your teacher voice. Mm-hmm. Which, as you'll hear in the interview, I was confused. I thought we were talking about, like, literal teacher voice for most of it. And I guess I also didn't know what teacher voice was in comparison to what others thought teacher voice was. But she had some underlying stuff going on in there that never came through to me until we were talking about it in the interview.
She's clever, that lady.
She is. I love her.
Yeah.
I really love Vanessa.
Yeah. She's great.
All right. I think, so too. She had. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, too, you know, when the first couple of questions came out, I was thinking teacher voice, like standing in my classroom using my teacher voice.
Yeah, me too.
But also, there's that teacher voice of we need to share what we do, what we experience, and how it's working through our eyes.
Yes. No, I totally agree.
That's our voice as well.
And now I've got that. but it's even deeper than that, just so you know. Go listen to the interview. So for the Twitter chat, she omitted some questions. Don't know if you know that. It was going in a direction. She decided to get rid of a few questions. But she had given an option to go anonymous for these questions if you used a Bitly. And there were only two questions answered that went anonymous.
Okay.
And she said, based on writing style, she thinks they were two totally different people.
Okay.
But for the most part, everybody was willing to, you know, to say what they had to say. For the first question, she had us go to a Bitly.
Right.
To pick our top three things. That are issues for us right now.
And she had a lot of things there.
Yes, she did.
I mean, it wasn't just education or just standardized assessment. It was like like legit, I don't want to say legit causes because that qualifies it a little bit, but it was causes that people can be passionate about from a variety of socioeconomic political areas.
Yes, very much so. And so that bit.ly will be linked in our show notes here. The poll had closed, but you can still go see what that poll was all about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for question one, like I said, she said, go pick your three. Stephen Pyle, who is at Sulphur Middle, he said, the teacher voice is when the smile is gone, the tone of speech and delivery drops, the solid eye contact is made, so that there is no assertion about the seriousness of what you're saying. Legislators need to hear this rather than screaming and ranting.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's mixing and matching a few things there as well. But I liked that for the different reasons. His teacher voice, which he puts in quotes, was kind of along the same lines I thought it was.
Right.
I only use teacher voice when I'm trying to be louder than what's going on because I allow some chaos to happen. You know, I think there's a lot of learning that can take place with group discussion. And so my teacher voice comes whenever I'm trying to get the attention and get everything reined back in.
Like I need everybody to hear me for these few minutes.
Yeah. And so mine isn't necessarily angry. His looks a little like, hey, we're serious here.
Yes.
But the legislator part too, they do need to hear we are serious versus mm-hmm. like yelling.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there too, because my classroom tended to be somewhat organized, chaotic with the flip
yeah.
structure. It's very student-centered and learning is messy and loud. So my teacher voice was raised only to get everybody's attention for like the 5 minutes that I needed it and only to get their attention. So once I had everybody's attention, I could talk in a more normal teacher voice.
Yeah.
I didn't pick a tweet for this one either because it was really tied into that poll, but I
yes.
thought your tweet really wrapped up kind of that poll in a good way. So,
yes.
All right. So, question two, we've all heard, don't make me use my teacher voice. What does that mean? And is it a good or bad thing?
Right. And so I think Stephen was actually answering the Q too, even though he used the
A1.
The A1, but I wanted to throw his in there because I did think it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with the June Kim on this one. He says, early years meant I was heard or not happy, aka danger, Will Robinson. And I just love that.
This is your warning voice. I will shoot a child. I mean,
danger.
not really shoot a child, but but you know, the volcano is about to erupt.
Yes, yes.
I think every educator experiences that at some point. Where the teacher voice is, okay, I am going to smote you if I have to keep going.
Yeah, here it comes.
Well, I went with Laura Searcy, and she is at Miss Searcy 112. She said, having a teacher voice, quote unquote, means having a voice in advocacy. We represent the voices of our students. Glad so many OCLA Ed teachers are using it this week. OCLA Leg is making us use it. And it will be heard. Teacher as hashtag teacher's advocate, hashtag teacher voice with the little microphone.
Okay. Thing. Sorry. I have to take a quick time out here.
All right.
Because I almost said, almost Dr. Laura Searcy, because she's like on
that
route.
She's really close, yeah.
Something has happened since the last time you and I last talked.
Mm-hmm.
Like recorded.
Yes.
You're Dr. Hazelwood.
Yes, I am Dr. Hazelwood. Thank you for recognizing that. Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
It has been really fun to watch. And the fact that it all revolves around Twitter and kind of a little bit of what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
like, I love it. And I'm just really proud of you.
I appreciate that, Erin. It was a fun journey. And I feel like I honored OCLA Ed with my work. So I can't wait to get it into a place where I can share it.
Excellent. So, all right.
Okay. Back
game
to the
on. Okay.
Yes, but almost Dr. Laura. So by the next time we podcast, she should be Dr. Searcy.
Aren't you supposed to like spit into the wind and turn around three times?
I'm throwing salt over my shoulder right now.
Okay. Question three. how do you use your teacher voice outside of the classroom to advocate for education / your students? Uh-huh. And this is when I was like, oh, I think we were thinking about teacher voice a little bit wrong, but I still wasn't quite sure on where we were headed. Man, I mean, how do you use your... We love them. Like, I can't even think of how to say it. We love them. Of course, we're going to find ways to stick up for them in all ways. You know, if you see something going down, I mean, you preach, not preach necessarily, because then that sounds like, you know, you're the sage on the stage. But in all ways, we try to support, lift up, and raise up these kiddos. And correct. So that's how I am trying to use my teacher voice. But
we're using our teacher voices right now, I would argue.
I would say. And I hope that there are some legislators listening to us, mm-hmm. Because we're not angry.
I think angry is appropriate, but I think frustrated maybe is better.
Frustrated. There you go. I went with John Bennett here, who is a faithful follower of the OklaEd hashtag, and Oklaed said he is in Virginia.
Yeah, all the way from Virginia. So,
thank you, Virginia, for continuously coming to the program. But John Bennett said, by calmly but persistently talking to others about the successes of our students, mm-hmm. as well as outlining how restricted resources are impacting the quality of facilitation of those successes and how increased resources would help.
Yeah.
And he took the words right out of my mouth. Meatloaf song. Sorry. The words right out of my mouth. Sorry.
I don't even know what to go. Now my mind goes immediately to Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. So yes, that's it. This is where I go. Yeah, the Bat Out of Hell album is amazing.
Okay, but
that's a podcast for a different day.
Okay, education.
So this is where I love what John has shared here, because this is where I go as every teacher that has access to internet. We should blog our experiences.
I kind of quit blogging when we started this, but I feel like this is a little more effective than my blog.
Well,
my blog had like 30 to 60 views. We're getting like 22.
Yeah.
Here.
We've almost doubled your blog.
No, we're in double digits, right? Like, yep. Please, I know we make fun humbly, but we are so pleased that you listeners are listening, and thank you so much. Go ahead, Scotty. Sorry, indeed. I've interrupted 5 times.
No, that's okay, because I've interrupted you also. But I just think that this is where teachers have to share their voice here in some fashion. And we've got some podcasts that are developing in Oklahoma with Stephanie Hinton and Michelle Waters. Oklahoma has a robust group of bloggers, and I don't know that we've blogged as much recently, because for a long time, it was all focused on the super dentist. But I think every teacher needs to blog and share what's happening in their classroom. That's the only way to effectively communicate to our communities the great things that are happening and the struggles that are happening. Because if you look at a quote-unquote failing school, amazing things happen in those classrooms.
Yeah.
That needs to be shared and communicated.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But also... in those failing schools, there are legit real life issues that need to be addressed. And the same thing could go in your suburban schools, your quote unquote A schools, your quote unquote C schools, however you want to grade or rank out your schools or sort them out, whatever. Every school has issues. Every school has great things that happen, and every school has struggles that need to be overcome.
Sure.
And so I think teachers have a unique window into that space. They got to share it. Okay, so I went with Angela Clark Little here. She's at Angie and Little. She said, I'm not a teacher, but I use my mama bear voice to advocate. And by that, I mean, I'm a matter of fact, but respectful, because otherwise we will get nowhere. It's just like if I were to look at you, Aaron, and go, dang, Aaron, you need to do this. You need to do it. You need to do it. I mean, your human instinct is to be like, whatever.
Here's my wall.
Yes.
I'm not
okay.
listening to you
so
anymore.
Erin just put her hands up in front of the camera so that I can't see. I mean, that's our natural response to all of that. You know, it's like when you tell one of your students, one of your own kids, you will do this. And you use like the angry mom voice or the angry dad voice with the finger point. I mean, what does your kid do? They dig in their heels.
Exactly. Or immediately shut down mm-hmm. and they're not listening
so
anymore.
We need,
they're
we
like
can
in
be,
defense mode.
Yes, we can be firm and we can be frustrated and angry, but we need to communicate respectfully.
Agreed.
Even with my, I won't, respectful can sometimes be a challenge, but we need to do it. Okay. Question 4, how do you advocate or otherwise support your top 3 issues from our first question outside your classroom? How do you use your voice? And again, so going back to all of those things, how do you use your voice? Well, Erin and I are using our voice here through the podcast because we try and share what we see, we share what we interpret from what we see in Okla Ed.
And sometimes it's the same and sometimes it's different, but we mm-hmm. can still come together and have conversations about that.
Right. And we may not, and when we share what we see, we may not share exactly what your intention was through that. You know, if we use one of your tweets, because, you know, we can only share what we see. So I think that's one way that we advocate specifically towards education. I can't say that there's another cause that has me as passionate in advocation as the cause of education in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and so people have said we need educators to run for office. We need, and I'm like, yes, I get pumped up about this. I'm like, yes, I could run for office, but Scotty, I don't want to be in everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in education, and so, and I've got a good friend who was a state representative for quite some time. He's been out for a couple of years now, but. When you are a state representative, it's not, I mean, I guess there are people who are single issue people.
Right.
But how do you do your job well if you're a single issue person?
Right.
And so I don't think I would do the job a service. I don't think I would be able to represent my entire county if I was going in as a single issue person. And so I hope that people who are thinking about running, think about that. But, I wouldn't want to be focused on everything. I mean, there are other issues that come up besides education, and I just don't want to be into it.
I was thinking of that too. And if you're interested in running for an elected office, filing starts today.
Today, yeah.
Filing starts today, which is April. We're recording this on Wednesday, April 11th, and I think you have till the end of till April 13th. To finish your filing. So, but I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, could I legitimately go into either the Senate or the House of Representatives with a kind of global perspective of my constituents and represent
right.
them? Like, I just think that that's because I'm so passionate about education. I don't know that I could give everybody the fair treatment that they would want.
Right. And this is a conversation that happened on Facebook. Daryl Gandy is an educator in Oklahoma who's pretty outspoken. And he was like, listen, just because you want to doesn't mean you're going to get it. Like, you have to be willing to knock on doors. You have to be willing to raise money. There are legislators out there who spend $50,000. Where on earth does a teacher get $50,000? Unless you are raising money, raising awareness. Just because you want to run doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Please think about it. And if you're willing to do those things, then please do those things. Mm-hmm. Like, go out and do it. But
right.
But I also think you need to go to the person, whoever you are running against, whoever, you're wanting to replace, go to their Facebook page and look at what the people that they are representing are saying to them. That has been the biggest eye opener for me over the last 2 weeks here, is going to some of these legislators' pages that I'm like, I mean, you're blind if you don't see education like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to those pages and they've got people that are, writing on those pages. Thank you so much for this. Thank you for not la, 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 la. And it's really eye-opening, because I do think we preach to the choir sometimes, and you
yes.
hear this in the interview too, and so I won't repeat myself, but But go look at what your opponent and who you're replacing is saying and what their people say, because that will give you a pretty big eye-opening as to, you know, if your cause is going to make it.
Well, I think you have to do that. I'm going to push back a little bit and say that, one, we don't know who those people posting to those legislators' pages, where they're coming from. So,
true.
They could be constituents, they could not. I'm not trying to question.
No, you're totally
I'm
right.
I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in a cause and we look for it everywhere. I mean,
yes.
we've had like Bernie Sanders has tweeted into Oklahoma Ed. Kamala Harris has tweeted into Oklahoma Ed. And good, but they're not constituents of
right.
Oklahoma Ed.
You're right.
And my
you're
other,
totally right.
My other thing too is sometimes the people that get most fired up about things are the people that are most on the edge of the furthest right or furthest left.
Yes. No, I totally agree with
you.
You
know what I'm saying?
Too.
So, but on the other hand, that could be the view of some of your constituents, which is something that you're going to have to take into account because. You know, some people, there's some activity in the Oklahoma Ed hashtag. In fact, I had to mute one user just because the things that she was sharing were just, they're so misinformed that I was finding myself getting, like, very angry and upset with what I was reading there. And I just can't let somebody like that drive my day.
Right.
So I had to mute that conversation. Every now and then I'll go look and see. You know what she's posting, because I think it's important to be aware. But you're right. Sometimes we get caught preaching to the choir. Like as teachers, we all know that it's a challenge, but we have to communicate that message effectively outside of our Oklahoma's for Better Education Facebook page, outside of the Time to Strike Now Facebook page, outside of the Oklahoma Ed Facebook page. Like we have to communicate this to community. We have to communicate this to other family members. We have to communicate this to our elected officials. And that's a challenge.
No, I completely agree. So I don't want to minimize these people's
right.
tweets here, but we do kind of have to move. Todd Gregg said...
Otherwise, we'll just be talking about this forever. This is a lot of passion.
No. Todd Gregg said, social media, blogging, podcasting, the companies I choose to give my money to and what they support, being politically involved. Thank you for all of those things, because that is the best way to use your teacher voice. Mm-hmm. I also, though, picked Natasha Jefferson here, and she says, I'm wondering if I'm doing enough for my top three,
right.
her top three issues that she picked from question one. And I like that, and I love that because it's valid and it makes you think, and maybe we could do more.
Mm-hmm. So. And have those hard arguments, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you need to have civilized hard arguments about these things, because that list that Vanessa shared included some potentially very controversial topics. And we don't have to all agree, but having a discussion is important. I went with Craig Wall. He is at VPS Bulldogs Supped. He said, I suppose it tends to be used to support my issues in a more informal way with friends and like-minded groups. I thought that was critical because that's where most of us feel comfortable. Is
yes.
with friends and like-minded groups. But sometimes a cause is big enough that we have to get outside of that space.
Yeah.
And I would think that Craig, as a superintendent, would be well-situated to communicate with people not in those groups on his top three things.
Yeah. Well, Q5.
Q5.
How do you address your top three issues from Q1 in your classroom? And so I went with a Vanessa Perez tweet here. So
she's the moderator. What are you doing?
I know. I picked her answer. She says, I do sometimes feel a conflict. To me, discussion doesn't mean approval or support. Also, things that were once inappropriate are now okay to talk about. Mm-hmm. Or matters like LGBTQA+ or Black Lives Matter, they are touchy, but children are dying. Why can't we talk about it? And
I mean,
so
that's important.
It is important.
You know, and if you think about the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas is at the school, right?
The one
where the shooting was in February.
Oh yeah. Oh no, Parkland, right?
Was it Parkland?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have the shooting and you have all these rallies and what those students have done to use their voice is amazing, but I just wonder how much conversation are we having as a result of that? Or is it just shouting my point of view louder than the other side is shouting theirs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
We need to have legit discussion instead of me using a louder voice than you because I think I'm right. Like, let's talk about that, you know? Yes. Students dying in a school building shouldn't happen. So let's have a conversation about ways that we can remove that fear. And anyway, but yeah, a conversation is, and these are very difficult topics, especially in Oklahoma. Having a discussion on LGBTQ issues is super hard because of the beliefs of a lot of the people that reside here.
Yes.
That is a difficult, difficult, difficult conversation, but there are LGBTQ students in our buildings. We cannot ignore them or marginalize them.
No. And I'm with her. If kids are dying, then we need to figure out a way to address it.
Right. So I went with Stephanie Hinton here. She is at the Steph Hinton and her podcast is called Passing Notes. Check it out. She said, not in the classroom, but I address these issues by talking to teachers about how they impact the classroom and how they can be alleviated.
And she is not in the classroom. So right. It's not like she doesn't talk about it in the classroom. She's just not in a classroom.
She is a coordinator of early elementary teachers in her school district.
Yes.
Question 6. Do you feel a conflict between your personal voice and your teacher voice? Not me.
I saw your tweet there.
I had no conflict at all.
Talanya Norfar, she says, nah, I am who I am in all places. Glad I work in a situation where I can have a voice that is the same. I don't think some people are so fortunate. And so I liked her tweet.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And she's probably hit the nail on the head because I know that there are people who are afraid to participate in Oak Lab conversations because of how their participation could be perceived.
Well, and how many people in their bio on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn says, you know, my views do not reflect my school or my, mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you are, you know, you're not allowed to talk or, you know, I don't know. I hope that my school always feels like I am doing okay at representing them. Mm-hmm. But I am also who I am. And
right.
So there's that.
I can see maybe having to qualify with a retweet doesn't equal endorsement situation.
Sure.
Like, I can get that because sometimes there's something that comes through and you're like, this needs to be thought, you know, like this crazy idea just needs to be considered because it's so crazy or this idea is so terrible. It needs to be seen so that we know that we're not going that direction. I went with Tanya Finnerty, who is at Tanya Finnerty. She said, none at all. I think having education as a career is a passion in itself and therefore parallels your personal views. And I would make an assumption that most educators feel that way. Maybe not all.
No, but, I would totally agree with that too.
But teachers don't tend to normally shut it down at 2:30 and quit worrying about teaching.
Right. Right.
In most cases. There are ding-dongs in every profession. There are ding-dongs in education. But I think the majority of us, the two are so closely wrapped together that the education voice and the personal voice are very similar.
Agreed. Q7.
Q7.
So this is an interesting structure here. A, building relationships is crucial to education. B, education is a political act. Is it necessary to share what is important to you with students to build relationships in Oklahoma Ed? Is it necessary for you to know what is important to students in order to teach them? And I reverse that order there, but is it necessary? And so I think I tweeted along the lines here, like, you know, I kind of think it depends on the age for real. You know, sometimes you have to have a screen up. There's plenty of time to get depressed in life. We don't need to push our issues onto kids, let them be kids. But then she came back and she was like, but at what point are you just, you know, pretending? And I was like, well, I think that's where we need to make the distinction. I'm not going to tell a fifth grader that I was a high school dropout.
Right.
But I might tell a junior or senior who's considering that line of thinking that I did that. It was expensive. Don't do that. It takes a lot more time and a lot more money to come back if you decide you want to come back. Mm-hmm. Like, I would give them my story to maybe persuade them that that's not the right way to go. So I think it just depends on who you're talking to,
right,
and how opaque that screen might be.
Understanding who your students are.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Mine was similar in that I think we need to, and I'm thinking from like a pre-calculus or calculus point of view. Let's be honest.
Sure.
And Rob Miller would be in my corner on this. You're not going to probably go into your job and use pre-calculus or calculus every day, right? I mean, you're just not. Do you need math skills to live? Yes, for sure you do. But you're probably not going to go graph a parabola while wandering the aisles of Walmart. I mean, you're just not. And so trying to get high school students to buy into that and think it's important to them to understand pre-calculus and calculus is a challenge. But if I can help them understand why it's important to them, like, there's a whole nother realm of coolness that you can reach with this mathematical background.
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
No,
on
totally.
The flip side, if I can share what's important to me, my students understand who I am, and that strengthens a relationship. And every teacher will tell you a relationship is super important. Like, it makes you human when they know what's important to you.
Well, and knowing what's important to them,
mm-hmm,
lets you bring flavors of them into your lesson planning,
right,
into your day, into your conversation,
right,
as well. So, I went with a Laura Pena tweet here. She said, I've struggled big time with this one this year. I want to make my students aware of social issues and find out what's important, but it can conflict with what they hear at home. I'm trying to find a balance between education and, mm-hmm, indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough one. I mean, we've already, you know, semi talked about it. There are issues that are just, they feel a little untouchable here. But they are still important. And so maybe, you know, check with the parents or send, if you do want to have a tricky little lesson plan, you know, maybe send it out in a newsletter beforehand. I don't know.
Right. Like, we're going to have this conversation.
Yeah, be prepared. And if,
yeah,
you want to talk about it first,
right,
then know this is when it's coming, and you guys have this amount of time to talk about it before, mm-hmm, I, you, mm-hmm, know, talk about it.
And this reminds me of this person that I've had to mute is, you know, some of these conversations would be like, no, this absolutely would not happen in this space because it doesn't agree with my views politically or religiously or something like that. So I think that's hard because some people have a view of schools as being government indoctrination centers.
Yes.
And they've shared that publicly. And I don't think they share,
yes,
that sarcastically. I think they share that because that's something they believe. And so I think it is important to have hard conversations and to find that balance between teaching a student how to understand what is out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you there.
So I went with Vicki Donnelly. She is at Donnelly Vicki. She said, I want to know, answer A, I want to know what's important to students. It helps me teach them through a connection. Answer B, I like sharing with my students. It lets them know I'm not a robot. They like my stories because they like having a reason to roll their eyes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are not robots. But I think some teachers could be viewed as robots because of how, you know, because they maybe don't share what's important to them because the students are the students and the teachers are the teachers.
Exactly.
So, okay, question 8. How do we model advocacy and encourage student voice? How do we listen even when we don't agree?
That's a good question. And I went with two different tweets on this one.
Okay.
I picked Steph Hinton because she said, every day demonstrating what it means to stand up for what is right, listening and coming to an agreement, finding common ground on the issues. I use social media and building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then Deborah Thornton, she said, we create projects instead of assignments and grade on voice. We grade on clarity. We grade on organization instead of merely correctness. We allow students to play devil's advocate and to us after we model it, you know, with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the devil's advocate after we've shown them how. And I just was like, wow, that is really good. I mean, you're teaching social skills there when you're allowing these conversations to happen. And, you know, a lot of people can't have a discussion right out of high school because they've been told what to say, or, you know, there's no back and forth. They say their thing, and then that's the end of their conversation because that's the way they heard it. I love that they're teaching them how to do both sides, because there can be a conversation, not just a point to be made.
Right. I would even say that as far as modeling for students, look no further than what's been going on at our state capitol this week, with students very present in the entire process and being given the opportunity to share their voices in a variety of ways. In fact, I retweeted this morning, there's a PBS post from one of my colleagues at Edmund Memorial, and it was picked up by PBS. So his blog post on this was picked up by PBS, and then immediately under his blog post was a student's blog post picked up by the PBS, PBS.org. And so there's a student voice right there. They've spoken from the main stage at the Capitol. They have spoken inside the Capitol. They have knocked on doors of the different legislators and senators. So they've had the opportunity to see teachers do that, and they've also had the opportunity to do it and learn themselves. And I think that's critical.
Right.
So I went with Lauren Pena as well. And she is at Laura_Pena16BTdubs. She said, the biggest lesson I can teach my kids in English is how to find and cite a reliable source. I just want to emphasize reliable source in this. And we've talked about it a lot recently in this world of fake news. You know, there are paid protesters at the Capitol, Aaron, and Antifa is there.
Really?
Yeah, Mary Fallon said so.
Oh my. Okay, but really?
So finding that reliable source, because then when you ask the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, has publicly said that there is no danger right now. I think the Westboro people showed up, but they're not really dangerous. They're just uncomfortable. Yeah.
I heard that was a subset of Westboro. It wasn't
actually them.
No, it was anyway,
but
that's just me hearing. I don't want to perpetuate anything.
And I don't either. But typically those people aren't violent either. They just
are. Off,
they're just different.
Angry.
Yeah. you know what I mean? But finding that reliable source, relying completely on ultra right wing news websites or ultra left wing news websites may not be the most reliable place to get information. And so,
right.
Okay. Anyway. So part of, back to Lauren's tweet, part of being a teacher is knowing everything. It's much easier to listen to views that don't mesh with mine if the student cites a reputable source that agrees with them. And I think that's right on. Like, you and I don't agree on everything, but we can also understand that that's fine. And we can also understand that we have different places that, different fairly reliable places that reinforce what we believe.
Well, and just like Steph Hinton said, you know, we can find common ground and get along. It doesn't mean we, you know, have to hate each other because we disagree.
Yeah, because you teach at Epic.
All right, question 9. If you feel there is a conflict, or recognize there is a conflict for others between personal voice and teacher voice, how do you make peace with it? What rules do you set for yourself? What rules are set by or for you? And I thought that was a really good question. It goes back to, these tweets do not reflect my school or place of business. Mm-hmm. I liked what John Bennett had to say here. He said, you know, making peace is all too often code for finding some way. Finding some way to ignore, but trying to bury differences. Better to dialogue openly to seek, again, that better alternative, or at least understand everyone better, enabling all to agree or disagree. And so I like that he just says, you know, finding peace means finding some way to ignore, or making peace is finding some way. And I get that, you know, if you're making peace, then you're settling. You know, how do I come to, you know, it's a finding a way to ignore or just not speak about.
I really wanted to take that tweet, so dang it that you beat me to it.
I got it this morning. You had fun.
Oh, dang it. Maybe I almost picked that tweet. That goes along the lines with tolerance. We need to preach tolerance. You know what? I tolerate a blister on my foot. You know, is tolerance really what we want?
Right. Right.
Or being courteous and respectful, even when it's hard. Like, which do we prefer? So yeah, I think he's right on the nail, hit the nail on the head there. So I went with Krista Steiner. She's at Profe Steiner. I believe she's Hablo Español. She said, as a teacher, we are a constant example to our students. I remind myself of this often and try to keep the provable and try and keep to provable facts whenever possible, and always try to demonstrate compassion and respect. I think it's hard, you know, in this era of fake news and viral tweets sometimes to do that. I mean, I've passed on stuff that maybe isn't very reliable because by God, it backs me up. But dang, yeah. That was a cool graphic and it said all the things.
it's pretty font.
So yeah, it's really cute. I mean, but you know, So yeah, being aware of what we're doing is important. So question 10, read the two stories linked below. How do either or both stories impact your opinion on the use of teacher voice? Now, one of these stories is about a Florida middle school teacher who hosted a white nationalist podcast.
Wow.
And in the quick blurb that it says Diana Voletich has been posting racially charged and white nationalist views to social media, previously calling it satire. And then the other one is a popular Mansfield a teacher was suspended after asking for LGBTQ language in the school district's policy. And that quick blurb is a popular Mansfield ISD art teacher was placed on administrative leave with pay in September, days after she asked officials to modify the district policy regarding LGBTQ. And I think it had to do with
inclusiveness.
Right? Yeah. What's the word I'm looking for? Was it not bully? What's that word? Ragamuffins. I can't remember.
But I was like, you're not playing Pictionary with me. You're just like putting your hands above your head like you're an angry.
This is what I'm saying. Can you figure it out?
I don't got it.
But basically, anti-discriminatory type of language.
Sure.
So that those students can be discriminated against. And you know what? Those are things that we have to be aware of as teachers when we do things like that.
And I just thought Vicki Donnelly's tweet here, she just said, good grief, be smart and try to stay off the local and national news broadcasts, use appropriate readings of fiction and nonfiction and educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gosh.
Yeah. My two views on the one, I have a hard time reconciling the fact that a teacher can have a very racially charged podcast.
Right.
And be in middle school. I have a problem with that.
Right.
On the flip side, I have a problem if we don't speak up for students who are marginalized.
Right.
And so it's like these are on opposite ends of the spectrum. So I guess it comes down to is, one, I want to be able to promote with my students an understanding of different cultures and ways of thinking and all. I want them to understand all those differences. And two, what line in the sand am I willing, like, what's the line in the sand for me that I am willing, when you cross that line in the sand, you know, the teacher gloves come off and I stand up and I say, this is wrong.
Man, so call me a big coward here.
All right, you big coward.
But this is maybe where I am back to John's tweet about like making peace with, you know, part of me is like, maybe we should just leave it out of the classroom and teach calculus or just teach English, like, you know, but you know, you hear like, being colorblind is not inclusive.
Right.
Acknowledging color, you know, it's just one of those tricky things. And part of me just wants to be like, but how do you teach history and how do you teach a love of reading when all of these things are combined in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I keep going back and forth on how much or how little, and maybe I am making peace with it, but those are just difficult conversations.
They're hard. They're so hard. I went with a Todd Gregg tweet here, and he said, I think we should use our voice to make the world better and more equal. So there you go. There's your chat, folks.
Wait till you start talking, when you listen to the Perez interview, we get into equality and in education. And mm-hmm. so this is, a, I mean, it's the same, but it's different. It's so hard. Yeah. I mean, both of us, it was so hard. And who are we?
People.
I know. Anyway, boom sauces.
Okay, so my boom sauce was Talanya Norfart. Now, we were talking about using teacher voice, and somebody had shared that in Clinton they have the red cap microphones or something like that, so you can just speak into the microphone and all the students could hear. And this just made me chuckle, and it was my instant boom sauce. So Miss Talanya Norfar, who is at the Norfar, she said, "My classroom is still back in the day. Can Clinton give me one of their sound systems?" and I just thought, okay, that is hilarious.
I love it.
So there you go.
I went with the Krista Steiner one here, and she said, "Remember that as a teacher, your voice carries. Mm-hmm. So use it wisely and with hashtag respect seems to be my word of the chat." And she did. I mean, if you go back and look at her tweets of the night, she's got it in there. And,
yeah, several times.
And I just think there's so much to that word. You can be respectful and still get your point across.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to shout louder to be correct. You know, it's like teaching your kids that don't get it. I will talk louder and slower so that you will understand. You know?
I will talk. Like,
I'll say the exact same thing at a higher volume, slower rate of speed, so you can catch
eye
it.
Eye contact.
I mean, yes. Dang.
Words that are coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, next week, who do we have?
Resilient Classrooms with Stephanie Hinton and Kristen Atchley.
Yay!
So Stephanie Hinton is the early childhood coordinator in Oklahoma City Schools, I believe. And Kristen Atchley has just taken a position with the Oklahoma State Department recently, not just, but recently. And she is the director of counseling or something like that. Some fancy title.
I love it. And she used to, and she had a role around LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. And so she's pretty darn versed in that. I kind of can't wait to talk to the two of them. Do you ever get jealous that I get to do the interviews?
No, because I think you just do such a good job.
Well, I love them because I love, you know, just talking with these people and hearing their passion. So,
yeah. And, and I appreciate that you do that. So there you go.
That chat happens at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday night. And then obviously you will always need to check back in with Okla Said and listen to us dive into it deeper.
That's right, because we like to talk about this stuff. I mean, we've been doing it over a year now.
We have. And so here's what I'd like. Okay. We've got a few reviews. Okay. I would like for, I mean, so let's just, let's be honest here.
Right.
If I can.
Please
We're in the triple digits on listens.
Yes.
Per week. And the high triples.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we're rounding, no, I'm just kidding. It's too far for rounding. but we've only got 8 reviews on the podcast on iTunes.
Okay.
So go in and like us.
Okay.
Give us a star rating, even
check,
if
check,
it's...
Check.
No, leave your stars alone if it's under 3.
we only vote for, only we rate us really if you're going to give us 5 stars. That's it.
If you like us. No, but leave us a review. Let us know what you like. Let us hear from you and go like us, love us, rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, or Stitcher or Google Play, wherever you listen to this podcast. And I challenge you, you've made it to the end. Share this podcast with one other person this week.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Okay. Well, give me the tagline, will you?
You know what to do. It's time to take over the world.
Close enough.
No, we can't be
close. All right. All right, educators. All right, educators. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Dominate. That's always the word. I'm on Pinky and the Brain.
Yes, that's where I got it from.
Okay. All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Yes. Vanessa, thank you so much.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, OK.